Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Budwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guests on this episode are John McCutcheon and Tom Paxton. McCutcheon and Paxton have known each other for quite some time, but in 2021, they began writing songs together over Zoom, meaning every Monday. That has resulted in two LPs, 2023's Together and 2026's Together Again. We talk about their ongoing collaboration on this episode, their friendship, and how folk artists tend to respond to current events through song. Also in this discussion, there was a little bit of a dropout. Paxton was talking about the Pablo Picasso painting Guernica. You'll find that a little bit later on the episode. That's John McCutcheon and Tom Paxton on Into Music, coming up now. So this is the result of the two of you now for a couple of years have been gathering on afternoons to write together. You emerged with this collection of songs. You know, tell me if you can a little bit about how you went about selecting this, because I imagine this group of tunes, because I imagine there were more that you had written.
Well, we've written
a lot of
songs. We started what year, John? In 20?
I think it was 21, actually.
Okay, 2021, and we meet most Mondays at 2 o'clock.
Even when they aren't scheduled.
and most sessions last an hour or so, and we usually come away with a first draft of something most weeks. So it's turned into what, 100 songs or something, John?
Oh, a couple hundred at least.
Yeah.
I am the keeper. Oh, I am passing a Key Lime Pie Factory, excuse me. Or maybe it was an outlet, you know, last year's Key Lime Pies, discontinued. I'm awfully sorry.
A key lame pie.
Okay, we're going there now. Well, one of the things is that we really lock into one another's ways of writing. They're very similar. And it's how good is it that you can spend an hour together with one of your best pals and come away with something usually pretty good in an hour's time? It's an exciting thing to log on to it.
It is.
An effort like that. And it's not, in fact, we wrote a song not that long ago called This Ain't Working. And it has nothing to do with the Dire Straits thing, you know, money for nothing. But it was just the way in which it does, you know, the writing is relatively effortless. Making the album is anything but effortless. And it's a lot of work and it takes a lot of care. But golly, I have 47 albums of my own and Tom has over 60. So this, you know, it's not our first rodeo. We know how to navigate it.
When you show up for these meetings, is it completely a blank space or have you both kind of like prepared, like, oh, I've got this idea, for instance, about writing about newspapers or.
I think mostly we come with nothing, but ideas are not that hard to come by. At least between the two of us, when we've stopped after 10 minutes or so of talking about sports and gossip and what have you, bitching and moaning, and say, well, what do you have anything? Usually the answer is no, nothing at all. So let's turn our attention to coming up with an idea. And it doesn't take 5 minutes to come up with something that's worth writing about. I mean, we look out your window is what you do, and or you call to mind the morning paper, and the world is saying, hey, how about this? How about us? You know.
Sometimes, though, we do come with either a phrase or maybe a verse. Or I mean, Tom, take, for instance, the song Rebel Gal. Tom, this is your story, but he wrote the chorus 50 years ago. And we were in the middle of recording when he said, let's try to finish this. And we both write with four or five other people. But I know every now and again, if I come up with an idea, I'll say, oh, this one's for Tom. This feels like a John and Tom song. So yeah, most times we don't have any ideas at all, but you're able to conjure up some stuff pretty quickly.
You know, I know there are certain people who would hear us say, we didn't come with any ideas at all. Would say, oh, exactly what I suspected. And they never did get an idea.
You know, Tom, we'll let you in, Jed, that we have done more interviews for this album than probably any album I've ever done. And every now and again, I start thinking, we sound like Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. So we'll behave now.
Well, that's the best. I wonder too, you know, in those times where you get into the session and you spend 5 minutes talking, that's probably also maybe, I would imagine, capable of sparking a song or something, you know, based on, you know, oh, you won't believe what I saw at the grocery store, or, you know, what have you.
Yeah, yeah. And there's been we've lost a lot of friends. We're of that age now. And we've written some songs based on, you know, did you hear about so-and-so? And then it will spawn something. And yeah, I mean, if you're in shape, and good heavens, if you're writing with four and five people a week, you have gone to the songwriting gym. You are yeah. in shape, and yeah. it's like your epidermis is gone, and everything that touches you has the ability to turn into a song.
Yes.
And it's been like that for years now since we started this Zoom thing. I you know, sounds cocky, but I feel like I could write a song about almost anything just because I'm in shape, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I suppose at this point it's a little bit of a cliche, but just that idea of just showing up, you know, every day and being open. If you do it 365 days a year, you're probably going to come up with at least one good idea somewhere in there.
I have a little story about that process of discovery. It's usually longer, but I'll shorten it. I was sitting up in Maine at the home of my old roommate, Noel Paul Stuckey. I was the first one up, and he has a gorgeous view of Penobscot Sound, which one of those views that changes every 5 minutes, and it's gorgeous. And I was working on a lyric that was set in Maine, and it was a love song, and it involved the dichotomy of Colorado versus Maine, you know, the shore or the mountains. Where shall we go? The second line, the second verse began, you came down to Camden and you tried to make it go, but you dreamed of Colorado and your da-da-da-da snow. So I needed four syllables, and it had to be totally Colorado. And I had no idea, but I knew I need these four syllables. And almost at once, I mean, it was incredibly fast, came the word uncompagre, which is in the Ute language. And I originally thought it was Spanish, but it's not. It's the Ute Indian language, uncompagre, which is a gorgeous sounding, beautiful,
strong,
and gorgeous. And it can't, and it's a mountain in western Colorado. And it was perfect. So in it went, and it worked like a charm. The only thing is that the only time in my life I had ever even seen that word went back in junior high school in Oklahoma. One of my friend's family had a summer business in western Colorado. And he wrote me a postcard, a picture postcard, and on the picture side was a photograph of Uncompahgre, and with a fountain pen he had shown where they had, how far up they had climbed, and that was it. I'd never seen that word again, and now here it was, perfect after all these decades. And the more I thought about it, the more amazed I became obviously we forget nothing on some level, we remember everything. And there it was when I needed it.
Well, a related story is one of just unexpected inspiration. That didn't come from anything I remembered. I was writing this song. It's on the Cabin Fever album called Earth. And it's the story. It's the conceit of the song is that it's Earth talking to humans. You know, I've been around here a lot longer than you. I survived worse than you, and I'll probably survive you. So don't be worried about me. You should be worried about yourself, because I'll survive. And there was the rhyme scheme of it was, it required a triple rhyme. Tom will understand what I'm talking about. You're too divided to find a fix. You poison everything with politics. And then I needed a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da X. And I'm driving along Interstate 75, driving up to Eastern Kentucky. And I can't think of what it, and all of a sudden, a big flatbed truck comes by with a pile of bricks. And I just looked up to the heavens and I said, you have the greatest sense of humor in the universe. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like our mutual friend, Susan Werner. Wonderful performer.
Oh, man.
I told her when I saw her last that I was on my way back from Pittsburgh to Virginia, and I was listening to her album, which was marvelous. And I happened to look up, and I was behind a semi-trailer, and it was all the way across the back of the trailer, Werner. And I said, come on, Susan, that's not even subtle, for God's sake.
You've seen my trucks on the highway.
Yes.
I love what you're talking about, where, you know, you store those things away. It's I do a little bit of teaching, and sometimes, you know, I tell my students, you know, you often know more than you think you do. Like, I don't want to get in trouble here. I don't really follow baseball. But I've had those occasions where I'll be at a party and somebody wants to talk baseball, and I'm amazed, like, oh, I remember watching doubleheaders with my grandfather.
Sure.
I saw the 84 World Series, you know, and it all comes pouring out.
Yeah.
Well, that's don't worry about it. We watch enough baseball for two of you.
Well, and you never know. One of the things I think that works in our writing together is that we both know how to just surrender to the song. It sounds kind of woo-woo, but neither of us are woo-woo at all. But you just know, let's just sort of take the blinders off and just go where this song goes. You know, we'll have characters that are disobedient, and we'll have turns that happen in the story that we didn't expect. And it's marvelous. And it's exciting. When it happens the first time, it's a little scary and like, what's going on here? But once you understand that that's an essential part of art, that it's not about control, it's about abandon, then you really have fun. And if I could use one word to describe our collaboration, is that it's always fun.
Even the serious songs are fun to write.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is the closest thing that two old guys have to giving birth.
But it's astonishing that after an hour, sometime, where there was no song, there is now a song. And that never fails to astonish me, that
Yeah.
there wasn't a song until we spent this hour going back and forth and solving little problems and what ifs and now there is an actual song that you can pick up your guitar and sing.
And it's great that we have not, after all the songs we've written, all the years we've carried these little nuggets around in our guitar cases, that we're still not astonished when it happens. We know it's coming. We know it's going to happen, but still you're not prepared for how exciting and lovely that is.
Oh, it's the best.
And you've gotten to do it with someone you love, you know? It's pretty
It's
great.
there's nothing more satisfying than just having written well.
And we're both still trying to get it right, you know? Neither one of us thinks we're there.
Oh, no.
I want to ask about, we know how this ends. And it struck me that that song could be construed as dealing with current events, but you don't say that. But for me, I'm listening to it, and that idea of we know how this ends, it's all about that history and the stuff that's going on today. We've seen this movie before.
Well, we haven't, we ha we have and we haven't. But there are patterns. I mean, I think one of the things that happens, especially with people who are a good bit younger than us, is they don't have that handle on history to know that, oh, income inequity, no, this has happened repeatedly in our country's history. Suppressing protest, yeah, this has happened over and over again. So what do we learn? What can we take from it? What kind of inspiration can we garner from those who went before us? And luckily, you know, in our line of work, in as being folk singers, we've had generous and wise elders from the beginning. I know I did. And now we're kind of we're the last men standing. So we got to pass, you know, we got to do the job that was done for and with us. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, in music, there are notes and there are rests, and they have equal value. And one of the things that a good song, a good poem, hell, a good novel, a good story, whatever, is it makes the listener invest. You don't spell out everything, because everybody has their own lenses through which they see and hear a song, which are going to be different. And it's often what you don't say that is the loudest.
We've had in the last week or so, we've had new songs by Billy Bragg and Bruce Springsteen addressing the situation in Minneapolis. As songwriters, do you ever feel like there's a moment where maybe it's kind of too soon to address something, or do you feel like if they aren't, you know, if it's there and you're inspired, you just go for it?
Well, I think of what some journalist once said, that journalism is history's first draft. And I think we're kind of in the same bag. Woody Guthrie wrote a lot of first drafts as well, and some of them, we still sing. And so I think what you do is you go ahead and take your best shot, knowing that it's very early days for the story, but it's your job, not so much from journalism. I mean, my model, my whole career long has been Picasso, which was the village in Spain that was bombed by German bombers during the Spanish Civil War, on a market day, killed several thousand people. There was no point to the bombing. There was no military value at all. It was pure terror bombing. And Picasso painted that painting so full of rage and sorrow, and shoving our faces in it. God damn it, this is what I saw with my imagining eyes. I saw this and I want you to look at it. And that's always been the model to me. Shakespeare said, hold a mirror up to nature. Look out your window and paint what you see. Write what you see. And you don't have to wait to do that. You might revisit it a year later and rewrite it. You might write a series of new songs. But I think writing while you feel the emotion, of course, as someone said, poetry is emotion recalled in tranquility. And boy, there's a lot to be said about that. You remember the emotion of rage or of hilarity, and you now have the space to make poetry of it. I never get tired of talking about it and hearing about it. The whole process of creation just blows my mind. I mean, when I think of a painter standing in front of a blank canvas, I think, how in the hell do they do that?
And
And go ahead, John.
they're thinking the same thing about us.
Oh, no. About us, is that, oh, those two guys are crazy.
Well, how can they do that? Well, I don't think I don't know that there's a way to make a blank statement about this, but I don't think it's ever too soon. One of the things that music can do is help people process what they're seeing that can feel so overwhelming and so confusing. So, I mean, we wrote a song about Minneapolis the last time we got together. I had something that I came up with shortly after Renee Good was murdered. And it's a and so, I think you're looking for ways to process the world around you. That's how art happened in the first place. I mean, you're to figure out where you are in the universe, what you think about this is, do you have any? I once read that there are two great questions that art addresses over and over. Do you have any keys for survival? Is it worth surviving? So, a lot of times it'd be like doing a USO show for the troops. I mean, the people that are holding the line in Minneapolis, they need song. I mean, Bruce Springsteen showed up there on Friday. And played for them, So no, I don't think it's ever too soon to do something that tries to be helpful and insightful and maybe give people some solace.
You've been listening to a conversation with John McCutcheon and Tom Paxton. The pair's new album, Together Again, is out now. You can learn more about Tom Paxton at tompaxton.com. You can learn more about John McCutcheon at folkmusic.com. Send us your questions and comments here at Into Music via info@kmuw.org. You can also find out more about all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. As always, we love to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.